morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, it's July 4th. Happy Independence Day, everybody. Yay. And happy birthday to my mom. We are going to be talking about July gardening tips today, but we want to talk about a couple of things happening this month that you might be interested in attending. And one of them is going to be at the Downtown Farmers Market next week on July the 11th. Marianella Milner, one of your master gardeners, is going to be talking about microgreens. Microgreens. What are microgreens?
Yeah, exactly. What a great little novel concept, right? So Marianella became a vegetable specialist through the Master Gardener program a couple of years ago. And after they go through the program, they have a project they have to do. So we worked together, and she had wanted to do a nice little side project that was kind of on the vegetable side, but not a traditional tomato, squash, cabbage type project. So we were talking about microgreens, and she's really excelled on this, and she's really cut out a great little niche for herself and to talk about what microgreens are. And essentially, we're familiar with what baby greens are, because we'll see those in those large plastic tubs when we go buy salad by the pound at your grocery store. And then we may be familiar with the sprouts, which are usually primarily used a lot in Asian cuisine. And those are all pretty much white bean sprouts, if you will, with no color into them, and if it is light tinged yellow. But microgreens are right smack in the middle of there. So the plant has, the seed has essentially germinated, and those first two leaves that have come out are already there in place. And what you'll do is you will harvest them when the first true leaves come out. So those first two that pop out, then the second two, and then they're ready for harvest and they're ready to be used as microgreens. And you just cut them off from the soil level and you use them everything on top of that. You can use them to make pesto. You can use them to garnish your salads and to your soups. And, you know, depending on what you pick, you can certainly get, you know, a savory or a spicy mix. You use arugula, or you can put a nice color into your salad if you use amaranth with its really dark ruby red color and stuff. So it's a really nice little thing that you can do, and you can certainly grow microgreens all year around on your kitchen window seal. And Marilena will have a great setup, an interactive display out there, and have some microgreens for you to see and to, you know, possibly taste, to see what's out there, just to kind of expand that palette and you know, try something new and try propagating some seeds and use them as microgreens.
Well, that sounds kind of fun. So that's happening next Saturday, July the 11th, at the Downtown Farmers Market. That's on Anthony Street in downtown El Paso. And I'm not sure of the hours. I think it's like from 9 to 1:30.
Yes, and Master Gardeners will only be there from 10 to 12.
10 to 12. That's your chance to go check out the discussion on microgreens happening at the Downtown Artist and Farmers Market next weekend. And then later in the month, mark your calendar for Friday, July 24th, because this is more of the Gardening 101 workshop series that the Master Gardeners and Parks and Recreation are holding at the Multipurpose Center on Viscount. So coming up on July 24th, it's plant propagation.
Yeah, exactly. People love to propagate their own plants, whether that's taking a cutting off somebody's, you know, favorite plant that you have, or you're moving or going somewhere else, or maybe something that has some kind of memories to you that you want to carry on and into a newer plant, or you possibly are just buying seeds and you love seeds and you love seed catalogs. And we'll have a master gardener doing the plant propagation workshop, and she has some really great hands-on techniques that she'll be able to show you and possibly get involved as well. So you'll be out there and listen to her talk, and she'll give you some great handouts and possibly let you get your hands dirty. So you want to make sure to register with Parks and Rec. Sitting is limited, and you want to make sure to mark your calendars for that Friday in July.
It's July 24th, and it's happening from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the Multipurpose Center on Viscount. And they have their own little garden in the back, right?
Yes, they do. They actually have the first community garden on a city park. So that's a really nice little area to see how that's grown and flourished. And it looks wonderful the last time I was out there. So it's a great way to be able to see what that community garden has to offer.
And you can call the radio station here for more information on that workshop. We also have the information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, I'm not sure if plant propagation is one of the things we need to think about in July. I'm assuming it probably is, as it's being held in July.
Yeah.
But we do have some July gardening tips. It's probably a little too hot. People aren't really thinking about going out and doing anything in their yard. But I think perhaps one thing that people are seeing if they're going outdoors at around dusk is maybe they're seeing a lot of little brown bugs.
Right, exactly. And those little brown bugs that are kind of crunchy if you step on them. We are familiar with them as June beetles. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're called May beetles. And they're out there and only means that there's babies growing in the soil.
Really gross, disgusting babies growing right. in the soil that right. are really, really hungry.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So really what it's almost impossible to be able to control the adult June beetles. But really what we target in our lawn care is to be able to get those grubs. And that's going to be the larval stage of the June beetle that you see, in fact, in your gardens. And these larvae are almost like a C-shaped grub, and they have obviously three pairs of legs, and they're really thick and about maybe about 1-1.5 inch long.
So they're white, yeah.
Yeah, they're white, yeah. So don't confuse them with anything else. You know, when you see a grub worm once, you'll know how to identify it for your
they're
entire.
They're chubby little grub worms.
Exactly. Their entire, you got to ID'd once and you're set for life if you know what you're looking for. And really what they'll do is because they're growing and they have this all these larval stages, they're eating your grass roots. So essentially you'll see, as a result, you'll start seeing brown patches in your lawn, and you think, you know, first of all, you want to make sure that you're getting enough water to that area. So make sure you troubleshoot that, cross that off your list if you know that's getting enough water. And then after that, you want to peek a little bit below the soil and see what's going on underneath there.
So, how deep do you have to go?
They're fairly shallow, so they're okay. going to be in the top couple of inches of your soil. But you want to make sure that you kind of use your shovel, pull that back, and test it around those areas that you're starting to see that dry or not so vigorous grass growth, and then start seeing if you see those, identifying those grub worms. If you see a couple here and there, don't worry about it. For us, our biggest issue is that if the magic number is 5. So once you see 5 grub worms in a 1-foot square area, then you know that's going to be your trigger to start thinking about control.
But you know how people are. You know, they're going to see one grub yeah. worm, and you're automatically going to imagine about 100 of them underground.
Right, exactly. So the best way to be able to do that is to take a little of those little samples and kind of peel it back, not a full square foot in every location.
You don't want to be making giant holes in your yard.
But take a couple of samples throughout that and take those little plug holes and 3x3 patch and then multiply that out and then take your samples. And then if you start seeing that totaling up to 5 per square foot, then you know you got to do something. So insect control in the garden is very different than insect control in your house. So in the garden, I'm going to make sure that we have these thresholds that we want to make sure that we meet prior to just applying pesticide just for the sake of putting out chemicals.
So, again, you pointed out something really important a little earlier is make sure you check your watering, because I know a lot of people see brown patches and they're going to assume they have grub worms.
Right.
But chances are maybe your sprinkler is not reaching out that far. And I think isn't there a color that your grass will turn if it's not getting enough water? Like maybe I've noticed some grass turning sort of almost a bluish tinge.
Yeah, it's a bluish tinge is usually the telltale sign. Also, if you step over the grass and if your imprint of your sneaker or tennis shoe or sandal stays on the grass, that means that it is being wilted and that there's not enough moisture mm-hmm. on that to bounce that back. So, you know, walk around there and see if it's not bouncing back, then you know that you have a moisture problem.
So if you do have a grub worm problem and you do encounter at least 5 or more, what's the next step?
So you got to make sure that what you want to do and how you're going to control this. And there's a lot of different chemicals out there. The one of the most popular is called imidacloprid. And that's just going to be your active ingredient that you're going to look on that. So you're going to look at all these different chemicals at your gardening center.
Lots of different brands,
right? Lots of different brands, but that's the active ingredient that you're looking for. And it'll come in a lot of different forms. So you could either do the granules that are going to come in larger bags, or a lot of times they'll also sell a concentrate spray. So let's talk a little bit first about how to get the granules and for them to be effective on there. Well, first of all, you want to read the label. And what it's going to do is going to give you the application rate. And that's going to be pounds per square foot. So you need to make sure to see how large of an area or how small of an area you have.
You have to do a little math.
Yeah, you do. So but there's a lot of online calculators that are able to help you do that. So don't worry about that. So you got to know, you know, what you're working with so you can put the right amount of chemical in there. And then make sure you check your grass. Now, if you want to make sure that your lawn needs to be nice and wet before you apply this. So irrigate it, you know, about a day before you plan to put this chemical on there. And then apply your chemical. And then usually on a lot of those bags, they're going to say to water thoroughly afterwards. So what you do is you want to make sure you have that adequate soil moisture so that those granules can stay on there and adhere to the soil surface. And then when you water it thoroughly after you apply it, then you want to make sure that that's going to start releasing the chemical so that you're making sure to get enough contact to those grubs on there. So you want to make sure that you ensure that the granules are going to stick and that they're going to start releasing into the soil profile.
So once the grub worms are taken care of, is there like a recovery period for the grass, or is that grass ever going to come back? Because I know if it's Bermuda, you know, it's just going to sort of fill in on itself eventually.
Exactly. And we still have a long season ahead of us. You know, our Bermuda grass doesn't go dormant until very, very late in the calendar year. So keep that in mind as well, that it's going to bounce back on there. The most important thing is that you want to make sure that your pets and or children, you make sure you follow that label, because some chemicals, they do require anybody to stay off it for a certain amount of time.
So what's the typical grub worm season from about what time to what time? Obviously, right now is the peak.
Exactly. And this is the time. And they only go through one life cycle a year. Here in Texas and in El Paso, that grub control is late June, early July. So that's why we're really focusing on that, because we get a lot of questions on grub worms coming in through our help desk, and we see a lot of that coming out in the community as well. But as far as being able to control that as well, there's a lot of other concentrated liquid formulations for grub worm control to be able to attach to your sprinkler and to your watering hose as well. And then that one you would follow the same directions too. So you pretty much just have a liquid application of that and make sure that
sort of like how, you know, a lot of fertilizers that now come in that liquid form.
Exactly. So it's really pretty much about preference. It does come in a liquid and granular form.
Well, with maybe the minute or so that we have left in the show, we didn't really get a chance to talk about too many other July gardening tips. But of course, we've talked about spider mites in the past.
Right.
They're probably really active right now, giving a dusty, webby look maybe to your Italian cypress. Hose those off, right?
Right. We should be past our dust storms for the season, if you will. So we want to make sure to just go ahead and spray them off. Miticides are very expensive and they're not available for homeowners at all. Set your little hand dial sprayer to the jet setting, or even just your thumb and spray all that web of spider mites.
Whatever powerful spray you can get.
Whatever works to control those webby spider mite nests.
Well, we are going to post all of our July gardening tips on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org in case you were curious as to what else you should be doing in your yard this month. Maybe we'll touch upon a few more later in the month in future episodes. But we want to thank you for listening today. We're out of time. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.